Sometimes people take even the simplest things and make them complex. Here's Skip Heitzik with an example.
Are there others that I don't know about? I thought there was only one Jesus. Well, you're right, there is only one true Jesus, but people have concocted up different Jesus in their own mind. They say, well, I picture Jesus as, and my view of God is, but a true church is under the authority of the Bible-revealed Jesus, the true and the authentic Jesus Christ. Listen to what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
Recent studies suggested that one way for people to combat global warming is to simply lose some weight. Now, the study reports that transportation of heavier people causes more of the harmful gases that contribute to global warming to be released into the air. So people shouldn't just lose weight for their health, but also for the health of the planet. Well, today in The Connection, Skip Heitzik shares some tips for our spiritual health. But before we get to those, we wanted to remind you that you can actually play a big role in helping us improve the spiritual health of people all over the world by becoming a global connector. Here's more.
The word missionaries usually brings to mind images of mysterious jungles and isolated native tribes. We don't often visualize our neighbors as a potential mission field or thinking of them as a missionary task. Yet our neighbors often need to hear the gospel just as much as jungle tribes. The same is true of America. The neighbors of our nation need to hear the gospel just as much as any distant land. Canada is a close neighbor that's also a ripe missions field. When you join the Global Connectors, you help us reach out to our neighbors with the good news of Jesus Christ. Call 1-800-922-1888. And for just $25 a month, you can help efforts all throughout Canada to share the good news of the gospel and to reach people with solid biblical teaching. Plus, as a member of the Global Connectors, you'll have access to a new downloadable resource each month. This month, you can download a teaching from Sebastian Frappier from Calvary Chapel, Montreal.
Abundant blessing, abundant pain, it brings the same thing, abundant faith. If you're suffering abundantly, faith will result to that. If you're abundantly blessed, faith will result from that. Wow, God is taking care of me.
Join the Global Connectors and help us reach our neighbors to the north with the love of Jesus Christ. Sign up today when you call 1-800-922-1888 or visit us online at connectionradio.org.
You can find out more about this worldwide effort at global evangelism by contacting us here at The Connection. Our number, 1-800-922-1888, or just log on to connectionradio.org. You know, just as laziness and an excess of unhealthy foods can contribute to obesity, and also apparently to global warming, similar habits can make us spiritually unhealthy. We'll learn how and how to stay healthy as we learn about bodybuilding God's way, today here on The Connection.
And make the connection.
Well, if you have your Bibles, Skip Heitzik is going to continue our study of Revelation today as he introduces us to a really good church, but at the same time, he explains why there's no such thing as a perfect church.
It's a great name for a church, isn't it? Philadelphia. It means brotherly love. Now, when you hear the name, don't think Philly steak sandwiches or Rocky Balboa saying, "Yo, Adrian." It's not that Philadelphia in Pennsylvania. It would be the Philadelphia in Asia Minor. But it was a notable church. It was a strong church. You know that there's no such thing as a perfect church. There are good ones, but there are no perfect churches. Now, why is that? Well, look around. Do you see any perfect people? There are no perfect people. We are all riddled with weaknesses. We all have our imperfections. We are humans. And I think a good description of God's people, even those who are redeemed. Now, certainly all humanity would be this description, but even those of us who are redeemed with our faults are in the words of Jesus himself when he said, I was called to preach the gospel to the poor. I was sent to heal the brokenhearted. I was sent to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Mark that group. Poor, brokenhearted, captive, blind, and oppressed. That is a messy bunch of people. And you put us all together in one big room, and there are imperfections. Somebody not too long ago handed me a list of bulletin bloopers. These are excerpts of different bulletins from different churches around the country. And they're actual announcements that were in the bulletins. Either a word was misapplied or just the way the syntax, the way it was worded, it could have a double meaning. Here's some of these bloopers. One of them said, don't let worry kill you, let the church help. Now, we know what they meant by that, but it comes across goofy. Another bulletin of a church said, Thursday night will be a potluck supper, prayer and medication to follow, rather than meditation to follow. Another one, remember the many who are sick of our church and community. One bulletin had, for those who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. Here's one. The rosebud on the altar this morning is to announce the birth of David Allen Belser, the son of Reverend and Mrs. Julius Belser. One church had a baptismal announcement. This afternoon, there will be a meeting in the south and north ends of the church. Children will be baptized at both ends. Wouldn't that be a sight? Finally, one bulletin of a church said, at this evening service, the sermon topic will be, what is hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice. Woo! Now, those are innocent misprints, but they point to a fundamental truth. Namely, we all have bloopers. We all have faults. Whether we are a group of people or individuals, we have problems. So did this church at Philadelphia. It was not a perfect church. It was a strong church. It was a noteworthy church. In fact, this is a welcome change this morning because Jesus has nothing scathing to say to this church. So far, we've seen the list where he says, these are some good points, here's some bad points, so do this. Then we came last week to the church at Sardis where he had nothing good to say. To the church of Philadelphia, he has nothing bad to say. And so we want to take this as the marks of a faithful church. Or as I've called this message this morning, body building God's way. This is the body of Christ. This is a strong and a healthy body. And it's built up God's way. I remember when I lived in Southern California, I would take long walks on the beach and I would tell God this. I would say, God, if you ever call me away from this, there's two things I will miss. Number one, my home fellowship, my church. And number two, this ocean. But it was in that order. It was not reversed. Because the church that I belonged to, though it wasn't perfect, was vibrant. It was alive. It was not perfect. But it was a prominent church that made an impact on the community. In fact, the Church of Philadelphia sort of reminds me of my native California because Philadelphia was also called the city of earthquakes in ancient times. Tremors happened there frequently in this area of ancient Asia Minor, and people would often have to flee the city to find shelter out in the open country. In fact, in 17 AD, an earthquake that leveled the city of Sardis almost totally destroyed the city of Philadelphia. It was rebuilt, and now it was prominent, and there is a prominent church in the city at the time that this letter is written. So let's look now at the four marks of a perfect church. First of all, we'll read it all together. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, "These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, and have kept my word and not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which will come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." The first mark that I notice in this little list is that this church was a church under authority. They were under the authority of God. Jesus comes and introduces himself as one who has authority, one who holds the keys, which is always a mark of authority in the Scripture. I used to listen to a man named Bob Vernon in Southern California. He was an assistant police chief to the LAPD. And he said they were often called upon to get into certain doors, go through certain openings that were barred in the city to investigate a crime or to arrest someone. And so they would always bring with them what they called the key to the city of Los Angeles. He said, we just named it that. What it actually was a big iron, solid iron pipe. Actually, it was just a big long tube filled with iron, had handles on it. Several guys had to carry it, and they would bust the doors down. And they called it the key to the city because they could get into any door with it. They had authority as the police, and they had the tools to get in. Jesus comes as the one who is holy, the one who is true, the one with the keys, the one with the authority. Notice it says, these things says he who is holy. That in the Old Testament, if you were Jewish listening to this, you would think of the name of God. For God would often introduce himself as the Holy One of Israel, or the one who is holy. That is a name only given to God. Jesus uses it. I'm the one who's holy. And then he says, the one who is true. Literal translation, genuine, authentic. So the first mark of a true church is a church that lives under the authority of the genuine, the true, the authentic Jesus Christ. You might say at this point, well, are there others that I don't know about? I thought there was only one Jesus. Well, you're right, there is only one true Jesus, but people have concocted up different Jesus in their own mind. They say, well, I picture Jesus as, and my view of God is, but a true church is under the authority of the Bible-revealed Jesus, the true and the authentic Jesus Christ. Listen to what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes to you preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, you may well put up with it. He's saying that you might allow teachers to come in who proclaim the name Jesus, but they attach attributes and ideologies to him that really don't represent the biblical Jesus. There are other Jesuses today. For instance, the Unitarians say that Jesus is no more or less divine than you or I. That is not the biblical Jesus. The Jesus of the Jehovah's Witnesses is God's first created creature, alias Michael the Archangel. That is not the biblical Jesus. The Jesus of Christian Science, well, they say if Jesus ever existed at all, it is irrelevant. It's the concept that counts. The Jesus of the Mormons is among the spirit children of Elohim. That's their own words. So a church, to be a true church, has to be under the true authority of the true Jesus Christ, the one who is authentic. William White was the editor of a newspaper called the Emporia Gazette. As an editor, he would receive articles written by people in the community to be submitted to the newspaper to be published. Oftentimes, because editors receive so many articles, they have to send them back to the one who wrote them with a rejection notice. I'm sorry, we can't publish your article. Nice try, try again. He did that on one occasion when one lady submitted her article. She wrote back a scathing letter that said, "Sir, you sent back a story of mine, and I know that you didn't even read it, because as a test, I pasted together pages 19 and 20. The manuscript came back to me with the pages still stuck together. So I know that you, sir, are a fraud and that you turn down articles without even reading them." Well, William White, the editor, wrote back this brief reply, "Dear madam, at breakfast, when I open an egg, I don't have to eat it all to determine if it's bad." Now, you can apply that to other systems of thought, philosophies, religion. You don't have to know all of what they believe, every tenet. Just find out the kernel. What did they say about Jesus? Who is he? Is he the Holy One? Is he God in human flesh? Is he the Messiah? Is he the one who saves? Is he the only name to call upon? That is the one in the New Testament. That's the real Jesus. And he approaches this church with authority, and they are under it. Second mark is that they're a church in revival. We notice in the following verse, he says, "I know your works, and see," or "behold, look, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have," notice this, "a little strength, and have kept my word and not denied my name." The word strength there in that verse is the Greek word dunamin. You're familiar with it. We get our word dynamite or dynamic or dynamo. It means power. But notice Jesus says to this church, you have not great power, you have a little bit. You've got a little strength. I love it. This is not a high-powered super church. It's not a church that brags of its accomplishments. Jesus said, you got a little bit of strength. Sometimes we hear ministry reports, do we not, of how great our ministry is, how great our church is, what great things we have done. If the truth be known, at best, we have little strength. That's Jesus' commendation, his notice of this church. What I also notice is that though we live in this day and age where we have modern technology, we have the printing press for many years, now we have the internet, and we're all over the internet, Christian ministries are, and there are radios and television ministries and all sorts of great ways to get the message out. I still think, given all of those tools, we have a little strength, because if I compare the modern church to the early church who did so much with so little, I think of 12 fishermen who went out and changed the entire Roman Mediterranean world by preaching the gospel without any of that. I would say we have little strength. But my point here is that another way to translate the word little strength, dunamin, can refer to a person who's reviving. It was used sometimes of people who were weak but were getting stronger. They were reviving. So here's the church undergoing a revival. They have little strength, but they're returning back to the New Testament roots. They're returning back to the Lord, and they're gaining strength. Because they were weak, they were perfectly fit as the object of God's strength. In fact, I think one of the prerequisites for revival is to not say, I am so strong, I am so awesome, I am so confident, but to say, I am so weak and I need God's strength. People who are in revival are people who know they need it, and they crave for God's power and God's strength. Would you say this morning, you have a little strength, you have a little time, you have a little bit of talent, you have a little bit of energy, a little bit of money. You might say, I don't really have much, I feel so inadequate. Then you are a perfect candidate for true revival. A young girl in the 1500s, Spanish girl named, well, her nickname was Teresa de Jesus, became known as Saint Teresa, had it in her heart to build an entire orphanage. The only problem, she had 3 shillings. But she said, God put it in my heart, I'm going to build an orphanage, and people would jeer her and mock her. What could you do with 3 shillings toward building an orphanage? Her reply was this: Teresa with 3 shillings can do nothing, but with 3 shillings and with God to help her, there is nothing that Teresa cannot do. She had little strength, and she offered that to a great and powerful God who is able to revive. Something about revival before we move on, because we uncover the reasons here. Revival usually doesn't happen en masse, like a national revival, nor is it something you turn on and off. You don't get revival by posting a sign, revival this week only from 7:30 to 9 o'clock p.m. Monday through Saturday. You don't switch it on, you don't switch it off. In fact, revival begins with one person or a few people who recognize they have not much strength, but they desire God's power and God's strength so much that they seek Him with all of their hearts. That's where revival begins. In fact, revival can begin with you. If you are the kind to say, we need revival, let's turn it around and say, I need revival. Rather than saying, well, if only other Christians would change. If only my husband would change. If only that wife of mine would change. If only my pastor would change. If only those song leaders would change. Finney said, revival begins when God points His finger at you. You get turned on to Jesus Christ. You get set on fire and you will ignite others, because that kind of faith is contagious. I've told you before, Gypsy Smith, who was a revivalist, his philosophy on it, he said, if you want revival, go inside your room, close the door, lock it, get inside, get on the floor, and draw a circle around yourself, and pray that God would revive everything inside the circle, not outside. When God has answered your prayer, you have revival. It is on, and it is contagious. Well, we notice why this church is gaining strength. It says in verse 8, because you have kept my word and not denied my name. It's a church in revival because it's a church of the word. Allow me to read that verse to you in the Amplified Bible. I think it will color it enough to get the flavor. I know that you have but a little strength, but you have kept my word and you have guarded my message. What a great church to hang out in. Every time you would go to the Church of Philadelphia, it was a church that was in the word. It was a church that loved the word.
Well, I don't know just how much of an impact being overweight could really have in the Earth's climate, but whatever the reasons, there are plenty for developing a strong and healthy physical body. This world needs the church, the body of Christ, to be strong. So the question is, are we part of the solution or part of the problem? And that's all the time we have for today. But before we wrap things up, if you'd like a copy of today's message about bodybuilding God's way, just call us at 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org. We'll send you a copy on CD for just $6, which includes shipping. Plus, if this is your first time to contact us, we'll also send you a free booklet from Skip called When Kingdoms Collide. We love hearing from those of you who regularly tune in, and we want to thank you for contacting us with that free gift. So if you've never done it before, get in touch with us today and get that free booklet from Skip. Just call 1-800-922-1888. or write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find a way into His love. Make the connection.
We'll get some more bodybuilding tips for the body of Christ next time as we continue to explore the book of Revelation and history's last chapter. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.